Hello, welcome to Misadventures, a Gloomhaven podcast brought to you by Gamer Public Radio. This episode contains spoilers for scenario number 37, scenario number 72, again, and scenario number 47. This episode also contains spoilers for class number 8, class number 13, and class number 16. Please enjoy responsibly. So there we were.
Casey wasn't.
Any clue what we're doing? Because I missed this scenario. So, Tots, right. Yeah, why don't you just hop on in there and let them know where we're at.
So there we were, barging our way into the Oozing Grove for what was the most uneventful fight of our Gloomhaven lives.
You're the worst.
That's pretty fun. I like that.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Misadventures. Good to have you back with us again. As always, we'll do a quick around the horn introducing the members of the Party Poopers. I'm Casey. I normally play Sherlock the Elementalist, but I missed this week, so this will be the last you're hearing from me for a while.
Yeah. I'm Garrett. I'm playing Herdner for the Scoundrel.
I am Skip. I'm playing the Quatrel Soothsinger, Mate Hall.
And I'm Steve. I'm playing as the Quartermaster, Brittany.
So, as Casey said, he was out this week. He had to go on a little work trip, and we decided to go on without him, because that is the party pooper way. No one poops on our party. We poop on the parties of others.
It was also around Casey's birthday.
Well, yeah, fine. But, like, we'll Casey's get to his over birthday 21, so grown-ups don't have birthdays after 21. Like, that's just, you know.
That's sad.
We gave him a good birthday present, though. So
yeah, we did.
Yes, we did. Yeah, that was something that we agreed on. Is we would go back to the Oozing Grove and try to get through it so Casey didn't have to play the whole thing again. But that's not what we did first, is it, Steve?
No, what did we do first? That was the Doom Trench.
Yeah, scenario number 37, the Doom Trench. And I was down with that.
Yeah, so this was one of the ones out in the ocean.
Mm-hmm. We had to use the breathing apparatus that we had gotten in a previous quest to get down into kind of a sunken trench, right? Layer, whatever. And it had a great scenario effect, which I got to ignore. But everyone was going to start with 3 curse cards, which is always a delight. Mm-hmm. Unless you're Skip, and then it really doesn't matter.
Or Brittany, but that's later.
Yeah. So we didn't really bother looking as to what we had to do to complete this at the beginning, but to complete it, just everyone has to escape. Pretty simple, like 3 tile kind of S-shaped layout. Let's just run through and get out if you wanted to.
Yeah.
But, you know, set the stage for the first room. We had 3 normal lurkers, 1 normal deep terror, and an elite deep terror. And we were feeling pretty good about it. You know, I'm max level at this point. Steve, what level are you?
I'm level 7, I think, at this point still.
Okay. You know, and since we're only doing 3, you know, there's only the 1 elite in there. So feeling pretty good about running in and killing stuff. And we did just that.
Mm-hmm.
We played off the strengths of, you know, proximity to where I was getting to do all my extra damage, and Brittany was doing a ton of damage, and Maytal put up that glorious retaliation song that is just the prettiest thing I hear.
I occasionally throw the 1 attack that has the really good attack deck, but, you know, that's just random, so it's really inconsequential. Yeah.
But, I mean, that retaliation dropped more than a couple enemies, and I was also rocking it with those rocket boots, which is a lot of fun.
Well, you know, we made such a mess of that first room that even before it was finished, Brittany's like, all right, well, I'm going to just go to the next room.
Well, that was the thing. Right? This was after, like, I did the solo campaign and I learned, like, I hit level 6 or 7 or whatever, and I got this card that let me refresh an item every turn. So I could just rocket boots turn after turn after turn.
Kind of living that scoundrel life, right?
A little bit.
It's a good feeling.
But hit a little harder. Taking a little more damage.
Really doesn't help me at all when you both take off, because I have no movement in my deck.
No,
we killed things on our way out. We didn't just completely abandon you.
I've been there for you.
You killed them, and you kept going is the problem. So it took me a few turns to catch up.
I feel like you're just trying to. Huh? I feel like you're trying to foreshadow another scenario that comes up.
Yeah, you know, you're not the most movement-y person, but we weren't leaving anything behind, so that's a bonus. And really, there wasn't that much movement required in this scenario. Maybe, what do you think, 20, 25 pieces of movement total, max? It was a pretty short map.
Yeah, I could count it, but I'm not gonna.
Nah. So get in there. Get into room 2.
26.
Thanks, 26.
That was pretty close.
See?
We had 2 normal lurkers, an elite lurker, and a harrower infester.
Yeah. Nothing we haven't faced before.
Right. And everyone jumps on Brittany because it's Brittany Spears. What are you going to do? Right.
Just leave Brittany alone.
That's what you need the invisibility cloak for. It's like an anti-paparazzi device.
I just kind of take the hits and deal with it.
You get that retaliate damage that way.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because I, Skip's a teammate, and I want to use the gifts that he gives us.
Well, he gave us the attack plus 1 song as we moved into the next room, which is also glorious.
I also saw that chest back there. And again, like super rocket boots. I'm going to start getting chests and figure I can start baiting them into those traps that are kind of surrounding it.
Yeah, because, Casey wasn't there to poop out all of our trap-related dreams. So, try and make use of the traps.
What do I ever do with traps? I don't touch traps. I don't go anywhere near traps. Ever.
I know, and you don't let any of the enemies do it either.
Because they're not supposed to.
For those listening at home, we blame Casey for that one rule for no real reason. Just because he knows.
So, was this one easy because y'all just didn't follow any rules and I wasn't there to correct you?
No.
The way he ended up is he was at the end of a hallway that had 4 traps across it. So the only way to get to him was through a trap. There was no other path. So that's great.
Convenient.
That works out nicely.
Casey would have been like, they would have focused on the guy 20 spaces away.
They would have gone home and made a sandwich. You got the treasure. Do you remember what your delicious treasure was that you got?
It was actually an unlocked location. I don't know if we want to spoil that.
Yeah, let's not. Okay, so we got a new location. And we're just kind of cleaning up house. And Maytal is back there just wheezing, like hand on the door for him. Like, guys, seriously, could you just... Oh, my God.
Yeah, but then he stabbed a harrower.
Yeah, he did.
And playing a second song at the same time. Yeah, whatever.
I mean, slowly you're trying to run and play 2 musical instruments at the same time. Like, you're going to be out of breath. Makes sense.
Like, I don't want any misunderstanding here. Like, I am not trying to short sell what Skip is doing for the team.
God, no.
Yeah.
We've counted up just what the retaliate alone does before.
We're hitting harder. We're staying alive longer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels good. Let's see. We kind of clean things up in there and prepare to move on to the next room while Maytal kind of moves up and you do your little long rest trick.
Yeah, I used a bunch of cards up, so I was doing my version of a long rest.
Right. Then we get to the final room, which is 3 more normal deep terrors, 1 elite deep terror, and 1 normal harrow infester, as is tradition. We go right into the killing. And once again, we could have just walked like 3 more spaces past them and left.
I think this is actually the point we realized that the goal was just to escape. Like, we were just so amped up about killing these things that we're like, oh shit, we can just leave. Yeah. And then we decided to kill everything.
I mean, it's honestly just as easy to kill them on the way. Like, we weren't really having to stop to do it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I actually did not escape because you guys had finished them all before I reached anywhere close to the escape locations, but yeah, well, it's good. We finished it, so that's all that mattered.
We technically made it. Like, that was the closing scenario, so it was just going to be you moving a couple turns to catch up, really.
Yeah, that's pretty much all it was.
And you were still in room number 2, whatever.
Well, no, he was in room number 3 before we left.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I made it.
Yeah, that was all around a pretty uneventful and just easy run. A nice way to kind of start the game. The night off feeling good,
Now this scenario actually opens up another one, but we decided to go visit the Oozing Grove first.
37 unlocked 47.
Yep.
Right. But now riding on our high, we decide it's time to tackle the Oozing Grove for the sake of Mr. Casey.
Yeah.
The birthday boy.
You. And we filled you in, Tots, kind of like what we went through last time.
Yeah.
Again, it's another 3 character scenario because you were missing the week before. So we kind of gave you the rundown on what happened and what screwed us over. And we kind of wove that into our general strategy going into this.
Yeah, the recon you guys had definitely helped us a lot going into it. We had a good strategy, which seemed to mostly focus around Skip getting bit by a snake for like 10 turns.
Until the snake died. That's how badass Maytal is.
Right. Bit himself to death.
But that was another thing. I think, Skip, you actually got the jump card in.
Yeah.
To utilize it.
Yeah. My one big move I normally leave out, and I left that in, and I have the boots that allow me to jump. So, yeah, our plan in general was just to
hit one of those.
Go to the edge. Yep. And when that's what I did, I jumped right over there immediately, and I decided to park right next to an elite Viper. But it fortunately turned out like his first attack was a -1 damage or -1 attack, and the next one was a -1 attack. So I just
and he's just taking retaliate damage every time. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He was barely touching me.
But the big thing was able to get you like out of the center column. Like me and Tots had like boots and speed and all this other stuff. But getting you out of the center and kind of behind cover really made that plan of going to one side possible.
Yep. And that was the plan is, you know, start on, if you're looking from where you spawn in the map, we went to the right and started focusing on that tree first.
Yep.
I think that's actually a really smart way to go because you've kind of got that, you've got the tree there that kind of, like, even though they can go into that tree, it takes double movement to get through it. So it kind of protects you a little bit from that side and makes it a little bit more survivable.
Well, everything had to choke point as well. Steve had included a phenomenal card to deal with that.
We'll get to that in a second. The real bonus, though, was you and Skip were up on that tree. I think I was actually in a tile next to it, too, but you had, like, the adjacency bonus.
Yeah.
So you were stabbing this thing for just mad damage. Yo.
Yeah. I was, as big of attacks as I could do every single time, ignoring everything else in the room, just trying to hammer the tree down quickly. And it went down quickly. I mean, we were pretty effective on that. And while we're focusing that, well, I'm focusing the tree, Skip's focusing on ignoring the snake.
And healing.
I think and healing. You kind of were working on crowd control in the room.
Yeah, a little bit. I was Skip?
Yeah.
I kind of moved out away from you guys a little bit and was sort of dealing with some of the other enemies to take some fire off Skip and kind of wait for them to collect.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was one of the I guess bad points of this thing, but it turned out really good. Is that if we go to one side, they're going to collect. They're going to collect in droves, and we saw them.
Yeah.
And they came in. There's at least 9-10 lumped up into a square, and I think Steve's eyes just kept getting bigger and bigger. Like, this card's going to work out really well.
Yeah, I had a plan. Well, you threw down that second song with the +1 attack.
Yeah.
And so now we hit this part where everything's choked up in this corridor, kind of coming in. They're clumped up. I'm looking at the pattern on the catastrophic bomb card, which was one I had picked up from a level up, which is picture a triangle made out of hexes where each side is like 3 long. It's this massive pattern, and the base card just does one damage attack on every tile. But I'm using Skip's +1 attack. I have a card that gives me +1 when I use an item. I had a power potion and my utility belt, so I cycled that for another. And I ended up swinging for, I think, a 7 after all was said and done, with advantage because I had the eagle eye goggles. Ended up taking out, I think, 5 out of the 7 enemies that had collected.
Yeah, it was absolutely beautiful. It really was.
I mean, I was spent out after that and had to do a bunch of long resting, but it made a difference. I felt good about it.
It did. You know, that put a huge chunk out of them. And then I was able to kind of finish off the guys you didn't kill on my way back to the center tree. Yep. I think the center tree was probably the hardest spot for us. You know, once we got in there, we started getting bogged down with ooze spawning next to the tree. And, you know, I was actually getting a little bit worried at that point because, my God, there was a lot of oozes right there.
I spent most of my time stunning or disarming like a triplet of oozes on the other side of the tree the entire time because they kept coming from, you know, the other direction as well. It was very irritating.
Yeah, they
couldn't do a lot.
Yeah, they were closing on us a little bit. But thankfully, there weren't too many.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we ever got all the way to, like, spawn lock level of oozes.
Yeah, no.
But there was enough. But we got that other tree finished off, and then we kind of had to make the decision of, okay, do we want to try to clean up all the riffraff that has been spawning, or I'm just going to run to the next tree? So I take off to the next tree, but you guys had a different plan going on.
I kind of did another catastrophic bomb with a lot less plus ones. It was like a 3 attack. So it didn't kill anything, but it did a fair amount of damage kind of across the board.
Yep.
And then I think we all kind of followed you over the log to kill that last tree and then clean up the oozes.
Mm-hmm.
Once the last tree was down, it was pretty smooth from there.
Yeah, because we had killed all of the non-ooze enemies by the time we had hit the center tree. So, you know, we just had to deal with spawns at that point. So it wasn't too bad.
Yep.
All in all, like, it wasn't an easy scenario, but we've definitely played harder. You know, having the knowledge from playing it before definitely helped us a ton in that.
Yeah, at the beginning, because I remember pointing to the fences, like imaginary baseball. Yeah. And just being like, this one's for you, Casey. This is your birthday present, buddy.
Best birthday present I've ever gotten. Yeah. Never having to play
that's
again.
Kind of depressing, actually.
Like when Mr. Summers loses, Casey wins. That's just the way of things. Woo!
Speaking of spicy, that segue.
What's cooking, Steve?
That week, we were doing jalapeno popper chicken. Yeah. Which is basically the same ingredients that you make jalapeno poppers with, put on chicken. It's my first time making it. I think it turned out pretty good. You guys didn't
no
vomit,
complaints
so I'm
at
happy.
All.
Yeah,
it was very good.
But holy crap, the dessert, Skip. That was a massive amount of... what was it?
The strawberry trifle. Ooh. It was just... Yeah. Strawberry ice cream... just a whole bunch of stuff that was, it was heavy and it was good. Oh. All kinds of goodness.
Yeah. And there was a fair
with
amount
the,
of
the strawberry. What's the strawberry glaze on top of it. That was, oh man. And these aren't in your standard, like small glasses or whatever, right? They're in like big,
they're like
I think salsa bowls or something.
Yeah. They're like,
they're way too big.
Plastic novelty margarita glasses almost.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is the way all desserts should be served. Like, you bring me something on a small plate, you're just insulting me.
Unless
like,
it's on fire. Don't put things on fire in plastic. Bad mix.
Well, yeah. I don't need my food to be on fire. You could do that while you're cooking it and then bring it to me for the eating it, and we can cut out the middleman of the fire. That's fine.
But yeah, so...
I'm not fancy.
We're nice and fed. Mm-hmm. Ready to follow up on the... Was it Doom Trench? That what it's called?
That's right. Yeah, going back to scenario 47 that we unlocked, which was the lair of the unseeing eye.
Which ended up being a boss battle.
Yeah, it did. And it looked like it was going to be awesome because like you're laying out the tiles and you just set down two small tiles and it's like, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. This
felt really good about it.
This was another one where we actually had to start with three curses on our deck, which, you know, Tots did his little giddy dance if I don't have to do that.
I mean, single best buff in the entire game are character classes that have ignore negative scenario effects. They really are.
Well, at least for this point in our campaign.
Yeah. Not that we haven't tried to push what counts as a negative scenario effect a few times, but Casey keeps us in line.
That's right. I wasn't there this time that'll keep you in line, so who knows what sort of shenanigans you got up to.
We played it by the book, man. You would have been proud of us. There would have been a
we
little.
We probably played it
pride.
More by the book than when you're there, just so that we were like beyond reproach when it came back to like reviewing it. You know,
I mean, honestly, we only do those things because you're around and we're trying to push our limitations, like kids mm-hmm. in a new environment.
Yeah,
like it's no fun if everyone goes along with it. That you know.
But yeah, so opening hallway, we got what, two normal lurkers, two elite lurkers. We're like, okay, scary.
Yeah, oh boy.
So
now there was a good bit of water in there as well, though, right? To kind of contend with. And,
I mean, yeah, but rocket boots.
Nah, yeah. I mean, it doesn't bother me, and it doesn't bother you. But we've got Maytal the Legless, who doesn't need these kinds of like restrictions in her life. You know.
Yes, that's true. And we don't have a bear Vermling combo anymore to swap her in and out.
No rum and coke. No Ciroc and Seagrams or whatever. Nothing.
Nothing. You could have stopped at rum and coke. I mean, let's stick with the effective bear combos here.
Have you seen that Smirnoff now makes an alcoholic seltzer water?
No.
I've got so many summer plans that are going to go so bad because of that. Oh, I'm excited. I'm so excited. Anyway, so, we get in there. We wreck some lurkers because they're freaking whatever. Lurkers, dude, right?
So I think you took the far set and I took the near set.
Yep.
You know, you say that with a lot of confidence. Like those things have like target two and pierce on them at all times.
Yeah, but they do now.
Yeah,
we didn't realize the pierce applied at this point.
That's true. There was that confusion there. But the real thing with that, though, is I've got my that level 9 card I use a lot that has the disarm all adjacent enemies, and these guys can't move. And so you just get in the middle of all of them and just they just can't attack. So you just kill them.
And Brittany's got some hard hits in there.
Yeah. So point we're is, able to kind of mitigate them.
Huh? I'm constantly throwing out curses. So, I mean,
yeah.
All they do is they whiff anyway.
And then get retaliated against. It's a beautiful setup.
We have a good engine.
But they go down real quick.
Yeah.
Me and Tots are like, yeah, let's just get in the next room. Skip can catch up. It'll be fine. You guys, it wasn't fine. It was not fine at all.
So running Skip finally we gotta set the stage. Skip is still almost at the spawn point with all the water. Right.
He's like 4 tiles up.
Sure. But water. And then you're closer to the door. And then, of course, I can move like 1,000 a turn. So I was just like, all right, cool. I'm going through. And as soon as we open the door to the boss chamber, there is some lovely flavor text that comes up.
And basically what it said was that anyone stuck in the first hall at the end of any turn from then on would take, I believe, 11 damage.
11 damage.
Whichever was the total that equaled Maytal's total health.
Yep.
So, by the way, I've got the scenario up right now, and I'm reading it, and that should have read 7 damage, not 11.
Oh, really?
So, why? Yeah. Yeah. Well, that is scenario level, not your actual character level.
Oh, well.
Well, then.
Well, I pitched a card.
Yeah.
So, point you know, being, it was a bad, bad time for that special rule to come into play.
It was, you know, Steve was able to like, oh crap, I guess I'm not resting after all and run out the door, but not Maytal. She just had to eat it.
Now, I remember I actually got close to the door and there was absolutely nothing. I had no extra movement left. And when you read that, I was just like, okay, this sucks beyond all kinds
thankfully
of.
Thankfully, it was just that.
Especially 11 damage.
Thankfully, it was just that one turn.
Yeah.
Which, had we known, you could have been completely fine, but whatever. You survived. It was just one of those perfect, you know, everybody screws just, over Skip moments.
Just a thought, like, Doomed Compass doesn't work on allies, does it?
It does not.
Okay.
No, we've definitely run into that question more than a few times. But so we get into room 2, and we've got this wonderful fellow named the Sightless, who is made out of eyeballs, so that seems dumb. But he's
the
sightless boss.
Eye. I mean,
yeah,
it's deep. You just don't get it.
Sure. No, it's a deep trench or whatever. Doom Trench. Anyway, he's the boss. And he has 3 Harrower Infestors in the room and then 3 normal Deep Terrors kind of in a triangular pattern around him.
Like they're like his tentacles. They're appendages of his being.
And that's how they function in this boss fight is he's not really doing stuff. It's his control of the deep terrors that are the problem. And so the plan was just get in there and get within melee range.
Yeah.
Because he has a card to keep spawning more deep terrors immediately adjacent to him. So we didn't want him to be able to make a wall of meat, you know, before we could get in there.
The other key, though, we noticed when we looked at his attack pattern, it has like this crazy, like 120 degree arc.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, we need to like get sort of evenly distributed around him so that he can't like hurt more than 2 of us kind of thing.
Yeah. And, you know, that actually worked out really well. Casey, since you have the info there, do you have his HP by any chance?
No, his HP is on the character card.
You don't want to go up on the box and look at the character card?
it was close in to the 40s.
No,
around there, which really between like just the straight single damage, single target damage that me and Steve can do was what, 3 turns, I think, maybe
something
4.
Something like that. I think I pulled back and got the treasure before shooting with like a ranged attack at the end.
Yeah, he was actually a really easy boss fight. But again, a lot of that comes in because of Maytal's songs really affect the battle that much.
Yeah. Like all the attacks are more effective.
Yeah.
When we're getting hit, which we're going to get hit anyways, now that's doing damage too.
Yeah. It's good. It was really a simple boss fight. Like it was actually a little bit underwhelming because we just had this, you know, epic slog through Oozing Grove and now we're, you know, a big boss fight. And we just kind of ran in there and killed it like it was a normal monster. And it's like, okay, then I guess we're done. Like,
Yeah, the key there too is that we didn't have to kill everything, yes, just the sightless eye. So like, I don't think we killed all the harrowers, in fact.
No, I don't think I attacked anything but the eye the entire time I was in there. I was just tanking the damage.
Our party composition's got some pretty good burst damage into it, especially if we start losing cards. So yeah, right now, whenever we run into a boss, it's just like, okay, focus it down. And usually that works out pretty well.
It definitely seems like, just anecdotally, of course, but three players seems to kind of be the optimum number of players for this game, difficulty curve wise. And maybe it's just our party comps. Maybe we've just been lucky with how it goes. But it typically seems like when we're running in three-player mode, everything's just a little easier.
Unless Casey's there.
Well.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
Man. I'll tell you what, though. I still think the elementalist is still probably over there in Oozing Grove killing oozes. He's not doing anything effective.
He murdered like 20-something oozes.
Yeah, so the thing about three-player is there's generally less creatures on the board, right? And less creatures on the board means, and you know, sometimes some more commons. And so, yeah, you have to get hit less often. And so that generally makes things a little bit smoother. So,
yeah, cool. I definitely enjoy playing four-player mode, but on another playthrough, I certainly wouldn't object to doing three and, like, upping the difficulty or something, maybe. But it was a good scenario. We got finished like before 1 a.m. Like everything went super smooth. Easy night.
Casey's birthday present. It was good stuff.
Which is way easier than us trying to like all agree on a card or something. Like that just would have never happened. Yeah, so that was our week without Casey. We will be coming back at you guys with the next episode where Casey is back. Everything has returned to normal, and we hope you'll join us for that. You can hit us on Twitter at GPub Radio. The podcast website, misadventurespodcast.com, has links to contact information, all of our socials. We would love to hear from you, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Misadventures, a Gloomhaven podcast brought to you by Gamer Public Radio. Please join us every Friday for new episodes at misadventurespodcast.com or find us on your podcast application of choice. Music for this podcast is provided by Kevin McLeod. For more of Kevin's work, please check out incompetech.com. See you next time.